What do you reckon makes for a good farmer? Maybe someone who works hard, someone who plans well and is prepared for whatever that will come, whether it's drought or storm. Maybe someone who has good business sense. They just seem to have a knack for picking the market or getting a good deal on some equipment. Maybe a good farmer is someone who is wise and uses sustainable farming practices, or someone who is gentle and caring for their livestock. What do you reckon makes for a good farmer? One thing that wouldn't make our list is that a good farmer is someone who dies to keep their animals alive. That is not a good farmer. That is a tragedy. That is not something we would applaud. But Jesus says something very strange, doesn't he? Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Now, I realise that most of us have an inkling as to what Jesus means, but imagine you were hearing Jesus for the first time. That at the very least, it would have made you scratch your head. What kind of farmer, what kind of shepherd doesn't simply work hard, but he's even willing to take some big risks for their business, but what kind of farmer, what kind of shepherd dies so that their sheep may live? Doesn't have to be a farmer, they can be any business person. What kind of business person dies to keep their business afloat? It's daft. But it's not daft, is it? It's actually a very precious verse of the Bible. What Jesus says in John chapter 10 is very precious. What Jesus says in this chapter, it reveals God's heart, God's concern for his sheep. And this chapter actually starts by Jesus telling a story about a farmer, a shepherd and its sheep. It actually flows on straight from what we heard last week. It sounds like we're actually on the same Sabbath day. Jesus has just healed the man born blind and he's talking with some Pharisees. And if you look back at the end of John chapter 9, Jesus has made it very plain. These Pharisees who think they've got God all figured out, they think they can see the truth of God there, but truly they are blinded by religion. And as we go into chapter 10, Jesus keeps talking with them about who he is and what God is really like. And he tells them a little story about sheep and a shepherd. So have a listen to the story from verse 1, John chapter 10 and verse 1. "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. This story would have sounded like a pretty normal kind of tale to them, but it is strange to us because it's not how sheep farmers do their thing in Australia. The way that Jesus tells it, you know, sheep listening to their owner's voice, it sounds more like the way that Babe does sheep work rather than the way you see on a farm in Australia. To me, the way these sheep are behaving, they're actually behaving more like the dogs, aren't they? Only responding to their master's voice, but allegedly what Jesus is telling is actually a very common way of looking after sheep in the Middle East. Shepherds would take their sheep out to graze, and then at night they would bring them into a central pen that looks a bit like this. That one's actually in England, but the same kind of design is used. And then when they get into this central sheep pen, someone would guard them throughout the night, and then in the morning you just go up, you call in your flock, and away you go, and you take them out to some food. But this isn't just a nice story about sheep. Now, in verse 6 we're told it is a figure of speech. It's something a bit like a parable. And Jesus goes on to expand on this story and explains how this picture about sheep and their shepherds and the sheep pen actually reveals Christ and his people. So in the story, the sheep spend the night in the pen, and this pen has only got one gate. One way in, one way out. Legitimate shepherds, they use the gate and come in and they get their sheep to go grazing. And anyone else, they jump over the fence, they grab their sheep and they take it home for dinner. And the point of the picture is people are sheep. And Jesus is the only gate. Jesus is the only way we can enjoy God's blessing. So listen as Jesus explains from verse 7. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Two questions jump to mind with Jesus' explanation. Who is the thief? And what is this life to the full that Jesus promises? So the first question is, who's the thief? I've often heard people quote this verse and refer to Satan. And I can see why he comes to steal, kill and destroy. But in this context, Jesus doesn't mention anything like that. He says, all those who've come before me, they're the thieves. Well, who is it that's come before Jesus? Well, it's either bad religious leaders like the Pharisees, or it's false messiahs, people who claim to be God's rescuer. And before Jesus, there were quite a few, and most of them pulled together a bit of an army. They tried to fight the Greeks or the Romans, and they failed, and they led lots of people to death and destruction. They are thieves and robbers. Though, of course, it's not just people who came before Jesus. There have been loads of people since Jesus claiming to be from God. Muhammad, psychics, New Age gurus. Well, actually, anyone who leads people away from Jesus is one of these thieves and robbers. The point is, Jesus is the only gate. The others make big promises. They promised us victory, but they can't bring anyone to God. And we're going to see why Jesus is the only gate a little bit later in this chapter as Jesus keeps speaking. So first question, who's the thief? Well, it's the false messiahs, the bad religious leaders. The question is, what's life to the full? Lots of people think Jesus is promising them a healthy, wealthy, happy life. And that would be true. It would be true that Jesus was promising that if life was just about stuff. If that's what life was all about, if life was all about living on easy street, then of course if Jesus says, I came to give you life to the full, well then he would give you life on easy street, life with lots of money and lots of toys and perfect health and no suffering. But we know that's not what Jesus meant. Jesus actually tells us that money and riches are distracting toys are dangerous. We cannot love God and money. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter heaven. If Jesus was promising us lots of money and an easy life, he was actually promising us our destruction. No, life to the full is life knowing forgiveness and peace with God. And when I think about life to the full, what comes to my mind is a lady from a previous church. She was riddled with cancer, that was her words. She was in incredible pain. But whenever I spoke with her, she'd say, "Tell me about imputed righteousness." Now they're big words, but what she wanted to hear was the gospel over and over again. She wanted to hear how, despite her sin, Jesus' righteousness had been credited to her, and because of Jesus, she was now justified and would stand before God clothed in Christ's righteousness. In her suffering, this lady had life to the full because Jesus and what Jesus had done for her gave her great joy. Does that sound like life to the full to you? It does to me. Do you have the life to the full that Jesus promises? Money and new things and relaxing holidays, they are nice and we thank God for them, but they'll fade away. The life to the full that Jesus offers lasts forever. So this is the first part of Jesus explaining his story. Jesus is the gate of the sheep pen, the only gate, And now Jesus goes on and fills his picture a bit more. Not only is he the gate, he's also the shepherd, the good shepherd who dies for his sheep. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. If you remember when David was getting ready to fight Goliath, David said that he'd fought off lions and bears in order to protect his sheep. That's a pretty serious commitment, isn't it? David is an example of someone who owns the sheep. It was his family sheep, so he's part of the ownership, and he was looking after his sheep. Though, I'm sure that if a lion came and things looked pretty serious, I'm sure no one would have said anything if he'd hot-footed it out of there and left the lion to his dinner. I'm sure David was a smart enough shepherd to do that, but Jesus is adamant he is not like that. He loves his sheep. He will die for his sheep. And Jesus isn't full of hot air when he says this. He is talking about the cross. And he tells us the reason he's willing to die for his sheep because he knows and loves them. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is amazing. It would be blasphemous if anyone other than Jesus said it. Jesus is inviting you and me into the kind of relationship God the Father and God the Son have. It is mind-blowing to think about what Jesus means by, as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Because he's not talking about a way that any two people know each other. This is not like how Anita and I, we've been married for 13 years, as Alan would say, we're beginning to know each other, though it's a lot more than 13 years there, isn't it? We're beginning to know each other. But the relationship between the Father and the Son it's like that, but it's more, it's better. It's completely unlike any two people, because the Father and the Son, they are not two people. They are two persons of the one God. There is an intimacy and knowledge there we can't even begin to fathom. Yet Jesus invites us to have that relationship with him, to be united to him and to be one with him through faith and by the Spirit in the same way that the Father and the Son are one. That is an astounding promise. And the amazing thing is that this promise is for us, both for Jews and non-Jews as well. Verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. This goes back to Jesus being the only gate. There's one saviour, one shepherd, one flock. There can't be any other gates. And the way Jesus is able to save and bring people from all over the world into this new flock is by dying for us and rising from the dead. Verse 17, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. It's really important that we hear Jesus willingly dies for us. You'll sometimes hear, and in the lead up to Easter, you may well read something in the papers or on the internet where people will say, look, the cross is divine child abuse. It is an angry father punishing his innocent son. Divine child abuse. But nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus loves his sheep and deliberately, willingly dies for his people to give them life, to give you life. He has the authority to lay it down. He has the authority to take it up again. And as Jesus talks about laying his life down, once again the Pharisees are confused. Some of them, they hear this and they go, this guy, he definitely is a sinner. Any of this talk, that's sinner's talk. Or maybe it's not just that he's a sinner, but he's lost the plot. But others are willing to listen because, well, he did heal the blind man. Verse 19, the Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, well, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So far as we've heard Jesus' explanation, we've heard him use this picture of the sheep pen and say, look, I am the gate, the only gate. I'm the good shepherd who lays down my life for the sheep. He's the good shepherd who dies so that his sheep can live life to the full. And that's actually the end of this conversation as Jesus explains the story of the good shepherd. But sometime later, Jesus was in Jerusalem for a Jewish festival. And once again, the Pharisees, they start hassling him. Are you the person that people say you are? Are you the Christ? Tell us plainly. And once again, Jesus raises the idea of being the shepherd. He's the shepherd. He's not going to lose any of his sheep. So we're still in chapter 10. We're just going to jump down to verse 25. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I used to be a leader on a day camp. A few churches took buses loads of these kids out to a local farm, and we did some crazy things with those kids. One of the craziest things was we made a giant flying fox. You had to climb a rope ladder all the way up a massive tree, and then you would scoot down this flying fox. And of course, a flying fox like that requires a safety harness. And as leaders, we were trained in how to use the safety harness, how to get it on the kids and how to get them into the carabiners so they would attach to the big rope that was coming down and get them up there. And one of the things you'd tell the campers as you were getting them ready is, look, you've got to hold on to the bar. There's kind of a T-bar to swing down on. But don't worry if you let go. You don't have to worry because the harness will hold you. 100% guaranteed this harness will hold you. For their safety, it didn't matter how well they held on to this flying fox. What was keeping them safe was the harness. There was no way it was letting them go. There's no way Jesus is letting go of one of his sheep. If God's got you in his hand, nothing's going to pull you out. He will hold you. Now, I know for many of us, we hear this and the questions jump straight up. We think about our friends and our family who once claimed to be Christians, but now they've turned their back on Christ. And they are serious and important questions and the kind of thing we can talk about in Bible study. But that's actually not what Jesus wants us to think about. It's not the point here. Jesus' words here are to comfort and encourage us. Believers didn't do anything to get themselves into God's flock. We can't do anything to make us hear our voice. We've got as much chance as that blind man making himself see. We're deaf to Jesus' voice unless he opens our ears. It is all of grace. And just as we can't do anything to hear his voice initially, we can't do anything to keep ourselves in God's flock. It is all of grace. The way we begin, the way we remain, the way we end, it is all God's grace. If I look over my life so far, there are so many times where if it depended on me, I would have jumped out of Jesus' hand. Temptation, not just temptation, but falling into sin and doubt, that regular gnawing doubt. If it was up to my ability to hold on to Jesus, any number of these would have been my end. But Jesus is stronger than temptation. God is stronger than doubt. And I take great comfort and courage in these words. I pray that you do too. No one can be snatched from the Father's hand. It's a precious promise, isn't it? But before this promise can be precious to you, the question is, have you heard the shepherd's voice? In the sheep pen, going back to the story, in the sheep pen, there are all kinds of sheep, but only some of them know the shepherd's voice. And when the shepherd comes up to the gate, the sheep are all in there milling around and jostling and baaing. But then the shepherd looks into the pen. He sees his sheep and he calls them out by name. Have you heard Jesus' voice? Maybe you've been hurt by some of the fake shepherds, the thieves and robbers who steal and kill and destroy. It is heartbreaking when you meet people who've been hurt by churches, by people who claim to be representing the good shepherd, but they have stolen, they have killed, they have destroyed. If that's been your experience, that was not from the shepherd. That was nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus came to give life, full life, eternal life. And as he calls out to you today, that is what he's offering. He's going to take us to green pastures of life and forgiveness and peace with God. In Psalm 23 it says, we might go through the valley of the shadow of death, but he is still with us. You may have been part of a church for many years, but never heard the voice of Jesus. You may have thought that you're not good enough for the shepherd. But Jesus didn't lay down his life for the good sheep. He didn't come to heal those who think they can see. Jesus came for the blind, for those who know they are dead in sin and know they need a life-giving shepherd like Jesus. Is Jesus calling your name today? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for us. We know without Jesus' death and resurrection, there'd be no hope of receiving forgiveness, righteousness and salvation. So we thank you for Jesus. We praise you that Jesus is the only gate. Please help us to know the full life Jesus promises. We pray for those who have been hurt by those who come to steal and destroy. Please show them mercy, heal their wounded limbs and heart, enable them to walk through the true gate. We thank you that Jesus is the good shepherd who holds on to his sheep. Please comfort us with this truth, especially when hard times, temptation, suffering comes. Help us to rest securely in your strong and loving hand. Please may Jesus continue to be the good shepherd, calling out the names of his sheep. May you continue to have mercy on many more people. For the glory of Jesus we ask. Amen.